This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Eternal Father in heaven, to whom all souls belong, in these moments we lift our adoration and praise to Thee. We bless Thee for every gift of grace that elevates and enlightens life. O Thou who didst surprise the world at Bethlehem, when none was expecting Thee, surprise us today with some unforeseen arrival of Thy help. O light of the world, who didst shine of old in a dark generation, shine on us today in our darkness, and come to us in our humble estate, that our hearts may rejoice because Thy Spirit has been born in us anew. O God, enfold with Thy mercy and blessing all who feel beyond the reach of the radiance of this season, the bereaved, the tempted, the perplexed, the imprisoned, the aged and infirm, the sick and the afflicted. Teach all of us in this place, O Lord, to submit to Thy providence in all things, to read our duties in the lines of Thy mercy, to wait for Thy consolation and the day of our redemption, as we do all our work with unwearied diligence and strengthened resolution. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we humbly pray. Amen. Dr. Myers has requested that I read as our scripture today from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 21 to 28. Do not stifle inspiration, and do not despise prophetic utterances, but bring them all to the test, and then keep what is good in them, and avoid the bad of whatever kind. May God Himself, the God of peace, make you holy in every part, and keep you sound in spirit, soul, and body, without fault when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. He who calls you is to be trusted. He will do it. Brothers, pray for us also. Greet all our brothers with the kiss of peace. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to the whole brotherhood. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Carlton, for that doctor's degree. I would rather have it from you than from some schools I know. Sir. You mispronounced the word. It's not doctor, it's doddle, sir. And thank you, choir and organist, director, for that beautiful music and for that splendid program we all enjoyed last evening. Of all the admonitions so movingly made by the Apostle Paul, none likely has been so well heeded as This one found in verse 21 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Prove all things. Certainly our generation and the one preceding it has busied itself with proving and testing everything. Nothing has been spared the scrutiny of the critic, the examiner, the appraiser, the judge. Frank Fagerberg has called these recent decades this questioning age. I know some teenagers and some who are older and even younger who, if each question they ask would represent a hair, they would all look like Fuller brushes. Some people undoubtedly spend all their days and too much of their energy proving, testing, and seeking, but never finding. Was the rich young ruler in that category? He asked the right question. He received the right answer, that life-giving answer. But he was unwilling to accept it and practice it, so he went away sorrowful, still seeking and not finding. Proving all things is only one step, though, in the search for truth and life. Having seen truth, we must seize it. And so the second admonition in this 21st verse comes in handy now. Conservation is the second step. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Briefly, in the natural world, there are three things that we must conserve: soil, water, air, and of course now our fossil fuels. But in the moral and spiritual realm, there are three equally important things that must be conserved. First, man's adventurous spirit. Robert W. Service wrote, "There's a race of men that can't stay still. They break the hearts of kith and kin and roam the world at will. They range the field, they roll the flood, they climb the mountain's crest. Theirs is the curse of the gypsy blood, and they don't know how to rest." Service wrote that of those men who hunted for gold in the Klondike and who explored and settled the great state of Alaska. It seems ever since he was banished from Eden, man has been on the move, questing, seeking, looking. Some went east, some went west, and now the twain has met in America, where cross the crowded ways of life. Pioneering people have always said, if there's a river, let's cross it. If there's a mountain, let's climb it. If there's a continent, let's span it. If there's an ocean, let's go over it. If there's a cave, let's explore it. If there is a deep, let's measure it. If there is a problem, solve it. Man, therefore, is an inquisitive animal, an adventurous spirit. He wants to know why and how and where and who, if possible. For centuries, mankind plodded along. Washington could travel no faster than Pharaoh. But recently we have learned to fly faster than sound. He has set his heart on the stars, and likely he will never be satisfied until he has attempted some type landing there. Friday night before Armstrong settled on the moon, a woman in our community called and said, "Do you think that men will ever land on the moon?" I said, "I don't know." But she seemed to know. Quickly she said, "The moon is a light, and you can't land on a light." And then before I could say anything further, she said, "You ought not to pry into the secrets of God." But even the master invited us to ask. He said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." You see, man seems to be born with insatiable curiosity. He's just got to know. No doubt, then, he carries out Paul's admonition, prove all things. Curiosity may have killed the cat, and some men will likely die in finding out things, but I hope that mankind will never lose its spirit of adventure. Someday, hopefully, he will give more time to finding out about the new heaven and the new earth and the new man. A second thing which must be conserved is the accumulated wisdom of the ages. We are prone to prove all things. Also, we are told to hold fast that which is good. Here we have the advantage of safety, liberalism, and conservatism. In our church, the Explorer Scouts had a beautiful little sailboat. That sail would push that small craft forward, but they also had an anchor. Sometimes that boat had to be slowed, and sometimes it had to be still. We should not always be questing. There are times to stop, to seize up the situation, to size it up, and to conserve what we know to be good. And we don't have time to explore everything, to examine every area, to try out every suggestion, to follow every impulse, to accept every dare. But we can profit from the experience of others. Over and over again, it has been shown that it's better to be on time than to be late. It's better to be a saver than a waster. It's better to be honest than to be dishonest, to be industrious than to be lazy, to be optimistic than to be pessimistic, to love rather than to hate, to have faith rather than to have doubt. You don't have to try out everything to find out, though. I'm quite willing to trust the voice of experience of good people who warn us about narcotics. I can trust the man who says, if you can't swim, don't dive into that deep water. And I can trust the saints of the ages and the Holy Scriptures, which says that he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I'm so glad that I don't have to wake up each morning and find out if 2 and 2 is 4 and that H2O is water. I'm glad to trust the wisdom of the ages. I'm willing to try to prove all things, but hold fast to that which is good. A third thing that we should conserve is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In the final verses of this 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the apostle says 3 times that Christ is Lord. He is a teacher, but he is more than a teacher. He is a physician, but he's more than a physician. He's a savior, he's the leader, and Christ is Lord. I believe that that perhaps is the oldest affirmation in our Christian theology. Christ is Lord. Some of you have seen the movie or read the book, Oh God. It's a delightful, hilarious thing. And the other morning at 6:30, we were reading some passages from the book, and you could have heard us laugh a half block away. My, to think that God would visit the assistant manager of a supermarket and try to speak his message through him. It's almost shocking and startling to realize that God can use common, ordinary people. But is that not what Advent is largely about? One thing about the book, though, and the movie, which Christian people cannot find acceptable, and that is when the question was raised by John Denver to God, is Jesus Christ the Son of God? And in the movie, God says, I don't like to answer that question, but yes, he is. Like Moses and Muhammad and Confucius, they're all my sons. We Christian people take him to be much more than that. And we cannot feel comfortable worshiping him in a pantheon on the same level with other great men. I like that story that Dr. Sidney Staley told in our church in Reedsville some years ago. As I recall it, Dr. Staley said that when his son was preparing to go to Alaska to be engaged in public health medicine, that he said, "Father, I've been raised up in a Christian home. I've worked, gone to school all my life. I've known nothing but the Christian faith. Yonder in Alaska, I'll likely have some time to pursue some studies and do some reading. I want to explore the field. I want to study other philosophies and other religions." And according to the story, as I recall, Dr. Staley said, "Son, do that. Read all you want to, explore, quest, keep looking, seeking. But when you come back, I want you to tell us if you found anyone better than Jesus Christ." And when he came back after some 2 years, he said, "Father, I haven't found anyone half as good." By his life and his death, he has the right to command our full allegiance. He says, "I am the way that you ought to go. I am the truth that you ought to know. I am the life that you ought to live." And then Paul says, "Abstain from every form of evil." Abstention never hurts anyone's health, physical or mental, when you stay away from evil. Test, hold, abstain. Like the three-legged ladder the professor at the university invented, much safer than the A-frame of the conventional ladder. On this you can stand and reach for something higher. Be a liberal in your quest for the truth. Be a conservative in listening to the wisdom of the wisest man, and keep yourself from evil. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Maybe you pray. O Christ of Bethlehem, O Christ of Nazareth, O Christ of Calvary, may we not forget thee on thy approaching birthday, in our busy preparations and our joyous festivities. May we not crowd thee out as thou wast on that first Christmas day. Forbid that we should spend all for transient pleasures and fail to find the deeper and richer joys that pass not away at eventide. Forgive our cynicism and our pride. Banish our doubts. Restore our faith in thee and in your way of reaching us, even through lowly people and everyday experiences. And when this glad season is over, like the shepherds of old, may we return to our tasks, feeling that heaven is not so far away. In his name we offer our prayer.